Hey, and welcome to the Crosspoint Church Podcast. We are a church that is for the city in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We are passionate about helping people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. So, if you're just joining us for the first time, we would love for you to check out our website, thecrosspointchurch.ca. There you can find ways to connect with us and see what's happening at Crosspoint. Now, let's listen to this week's Sunday message.
Oh, well, welcome, Crosspoint. We are glad that you are with us this morning. My name is Mike. I'm part of the pastoral staff here. If I haven't met you, nice to meet you. Glad that you're joining us this morning on Easter Sunday, and we celebrate the resurrected Christ. Question for you as we get started. How many of you are pet people? Dogs, cats, kind of, you're all in. There's a few of you. That's good. I would say that Kim and I, we're probably more dog people. We've been married almost 26 years, and 24 of those years, we've had a dog in our home. We love having a dog around. Cats, grew up with a cat, but kind of indifferent to cats. Cats are indifferent to you, and so I kind of feel indifferent to cats in some ways. But we also have a cat because, you know, why not have a house full of things? So we were living for a while in Southeast BC, a little rural space, and had an acreage. With those things come wonderful things like mice. We had some mice around our house in our backyard. My wife said, if we had a mouse in the house, that means we're getting a cat. And I was like, well, sure, that makes sense. Didn't really think it was going to happen. And then conveniently, I was out of town driving into Calgary, and I get a call. Kim's like, we've got a mouse. And I'm like, well, I'm in Calgary, so I'm not sure what you want me to do about this. So my son, in all his wisdom, at a young age, he had seen on a TV show, the way you get rid of a mouse in the house is by leaving a trail of cheese for the mouse to go out of the house. And sure enough, as Kim and Chloe were terrified on the stairs, Ryan set out this trail of cheese, and off the mouse goes out of the house. In my mind, I'm like, why do you need a cat then? Because you've got a solution. That didn't solve it. We ended up getting a cat. Every time we drove into Cranbrook, my daughter was asking, when are we getting a cat? Because the SPCA was right on the edge of town. We ended up with a cat, and she was thrilled. That has been her pet. They have been best of friends. They have shared everything together. Chloe has forced this cat to love her and be her pet and do her thing. And you can see that was her at a young age, and that has been the life of the cat its entire life, squeezed to death. But this cat has been through thick and thin. It's an outdoor cat, so wanders around. You know, they say cats have 9 lives. I've got the vet bills to prove our cat has gone through most of those lives. It has had various adventures in various places in various ways. We live right now in St. Albert's, and we live back onto a ravine, and there's a whole bunch of animals, coyotes and moose and all sorts of stuff that seem to wander through our backyard. And so this cat has a whole bunch of adventures. It's a cat that holds its own fairly well. We've got a graveyard in our front flower bed to prove it, that we call it the squirrel graveyard. There's tails consistently left, remnants from this cat being a killer cat. And so it holds its own fairly well. One evening we had let the cat out to go and wander the neighborhood and do its thing. And usually it comes back wanting to cuddle with Chloe and spend the night with Chloe. But this night it didn't happen, which wasn't totally unusual. It's lots of times that kind of happens, gets on an adventure and doesn't come home. Chloe going to bed was a difficult thing without her cat. And so we said, you know, in the morning, it'll be fine. The cat will be here. Things will be great. We'll be back to normal. Morning comes. Chloe's excited to go see her cat. Cat's not there. Chloe is a level of distraught because this is her cat and the cat hasn't showed up yet. After much convincing and calming, we got her off to school with the words that the cat would be there when she got home from school. For sure, this cat's going to show up. It's going to get hungry. It's going to need a place to rest. It's going to be there. Chloe comes home from school and there's still no cat. What do we do? Well, this started us on a find a cat process. Posters put up across the neighborhood telling people to look out for this cat, be on the watch, call this number. Facebook groups join for lost pets and lost animals around the Edmonton area. We gotta find this cat. Day one turns into day two, turns into day three, and there's still no cat. Day three moves into day four. Day seven, we get a note, message on Facebook, not a positive message. Hey, I think I saw your cat. It didn't have a good end. It was on the side of a road after being hit by a car. You can imagine a daughter who is in love with this cat, now distraught at the experience that her beloved cat has passed away. Wailing, tears, deep grief, sobs, all of the things. And you try and comfort in those moments and in those places. And it's hard to do. Difficult to do. This is a cat she's loved that has been a support for all of these things. So this was a Wednesday that we found this out, and the next couple of days in our lives were busy with things going on. So we, trying to help process grief and loss and all of those pieces, we said, okay, well, let's Saturday plan that we would have a funeral, a memorial for this cat, and we would have the kids be able to share some words and share their hearts of what the cat meant to them and how important it was, and we would put a cap on and a moment to be able to move through and process grief in some way, in some form. So this was Wednesday night. We made the decision Saturday was going to be this funeral. Friday, we get up in the morning, kind of doing the things. I'm out to walk the dog, and I come back. My son's at the kitchen counter having breakfast. I go upstairs, and all I hear is a gasp and the words, "No way," and the patio door open, and up walks my son holding this cat. You can imagine the joy and excitement after a cat had been gone for almost 10 days that was happening in our house as Chloe had her cat back and my son was amazed and shocked. There was joy that my daughter wasn't in the space of grief and loss anymore, but can I also say there was a bit of frustration? I'm like, "Cat, we have been through grief. We have been through sobbing. We have been through pain. Heartless, maybe. Selfish, maybe just a little. But I'm like, we just did all this space of death and dying, and now we're going to have to do it again at some point in time." You know what? I think it speaks to a fact that in our lives, we aren't quite sure what to do with death. You think about the loss of a loved one, somebody close to you, a friend, a family member, somebody in your sphere of interaction and encounters, and we aren't quite sure what to do in a season of death. We maybe aren't sure what is to come, what the outcome will be. We maybe aren't sure right words to say or the things to do. Death always feels like it's got a level of uncertainty clouded around it. And I think it causes us to have a level of uncomfort and uncertainty as we navigate and interact with death. Maybe we aren't quite sure about what happens next, and so it leaves questions in our mind and in our heart. But the fact is that we will all experience death at some point, at some time. And yet we know in our lives that there's an angst for something more. There's a longing for something that doesn't feel like it can be captured or consumed or received here in this world that we live in. Over the last number of weeks, there's been a playlist that I've been listening to, just a random one put out by Apple Music, and there was a song by a guy named Luke Bauer, and it has a lyric that has caught my attention and my heart over the last number of weeks as I've heard it kind of in the background as I've been working. And the lyric says this. It says, "There is Eden in my bones. There is Eden in my bones." It speaks to this picture that we have been created for something more than what we see in the world around us. That we have actually been created for the experience of Eden. So God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. He creates Adam and Eve and he places them in the garden. He says, "Here are the things for you to tend, to care for, to look after. And we will enjoy communion with one another because you were created for relationship with me." And in their choices of disobedience, God said, "Here is what you can do. You can experience all that this garden has for you, but do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil." So Adam and Eve, enjoying interaction and communion with God, enjoying all that he created, the goodness and the fullness of life for them. Then the serpent comes and brings a level of deception and says, "Did God really say that? Don't you deserve to know, to have more, to experience all that life has to offer for you?" Adam and Eve looking at each other, and, "Yeah, that's right. I think we probably should. Let's partake in that." And there was an act of disobedience to actually go opposite to what God had laid out and intended for them, to choose their own way. And because of that, it brings and brought a separation in relationship. It brought a level of shame and disconnection from the communion that they had experienced with God. We have been created for that communion. We have been created for Eden, unhindered, unbroken, engaged in relationship and communion with a Father who loves us. You and I have been created with Eden in our bones, a longing in our heart for this relationship that we have been created for a joy experiencing creation in its fullness and an unhindered communion with God, just like Adam and Eve experienced at the start of the world. And yet, what enters in is a brokenness, a break in that relationship, a decision, a choice to go our own way. Our friend Ellie shared the verse this morning from Romans chapter 6, the picture and the cost of that decision. She said from Romans chapter 6, the wage of sin is death. A death that comes in our relationship and interaction and to God, the relationship we've been created for, a death that we experience in our physical bodies, that we will experience an end. And so in it, it grows this level of angst, this level of uncertainty, because the reality is that no matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, no matter how many good things we've done that we can check off a box and say we've done this stuff, the truth is we can't make up for the impact and the cost of sin. Sin that brings physical and spiritual death. And so we sit in this space and in this time with an unknown, an uncertainty, not really having the skills or abilities to know exactly how we navigate the space and experiences of death of those around us. This morning we get together to celebrate, to recognize the good news of Jesus' victory over death, the resurrection from the dead that would make a way for us. And we do that because we recognize that there is a break in a relationship. There is a break in what we've been created for. While our hearts long for Eden and a restored communion with God, we have this break and the separation. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church in the book of 1 Corinthians, captures it this way in chapter 15. He says, "For sin is a sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power." For sin is a sting that results in death. The reality of disobedience to choosing to go our own way, to do our own thinking that we know best and we know what is right, leads us to a place and an experience of death. Not just in our physical bodies, but also spiritually in a connection of a relationship that we were created for. For sin is the sting that results in death, and law gives sin its power. We recognize the life God has called us to and created us for, and yet so often, time and again, we choose to walk in our own wisdom. We walk in our own ways, walk in our own wants and our own desires that put us in direct opposition to what God had created us for and calls us to. But then he goes on to say in verse 57 in chapter 15, he says, "But thank God." We thank God this morning because he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God this morning because in our own strength, in our own power, in our own accomplishments, we can't reverse the impact of sin. We experience the death in our lives and in our physical bodies, and we can't reverse that by doing more good things. And so this morning we recognize and are reminded of God's gift to us. And so we thank God that on our behalf, he gives us victory over sin and death through Christ Jesus, the one who makes a way for us. You see, earlier in the passage, Paul writes this as a reminder. He says, "You see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, like we're all connected, we all choose sin, we all make choices of disobedience to disregard God and his call for lives, because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life." That's the good news. This morning, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ from the dead because he gives us an opportunity to see a relationship restored, to be reunited with the one who created us in his image and invites us to relationship with him. And so this morning, the good news for us, the invitation for us, for you, for me, is the ones that will choose to respond to Christ's grace and mercy for us will experience the life that is found in and through Christ. The life that is found is a restoration of relationship. And I know it's tough at times in the world that we live in the times that we live. It can feel overwhelming. We can feel like we're on a Friday experience, like death is won. Jesus is on the cross. He's breathing his last breath, that the end is there and there's nothing to live for. And it feels like that at times in our world, in our situations. We can look at the economic upheaval and the uncertainty that abounds around us, and it can feel like death is winning. And yet today we come together, we remind one another of the good news of the resurrection, that Christ didn't just die on a cross so that you and I could know life, but he was resurrected from the dead, overcoming death so that we might have life. Paul writes and reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15, earlier in this passage, this is what he says. He says, I passed on to you, he's writing to the church, he's saying, I've passed on to you what was most important. Church, can you hear what is most important for us today? This is what had been passed on to me. He says, Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. And he was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. And then he goes on, he says, he was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. Most of them were still alive, though some have died. Man, the joy of Paul being able to walk and interact with those that walked with Christ, carrying forward a message that isn't just, I've heard about this, but people that said, I walked with Jesus and I saw his resurrection. I experienced that he overcame death and he has made a way for life. Paul is saying, I want you to know what's most important, that Christ paid the price, that sin and our disobedience and our desires to go and do our own thing and try and live life by ourselves, where we fall short in those places, the good news is that Christ in his death pays the price so that we can find life in him. He writes this in 2 Corinthians for us in chapter 5. It says, for God made Christ, who never sins, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ, so that we could experience the fullness of Eden in our bones, that longing, that angst that we have, that hunger for something more, for the thing that can't be captured or equipped or experienced in this world, the thing that sits deep in our hearts, that longing for Eden, it can be met because of what Christ has done on our behalf. That relationship that we have been created for, it can be restored, it can be reconciled because of what Christ has done on our behalf. For God made Christ, who never sins, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. The good news of the promise that we gather today on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, to remind one another about, to proclaim from the rooftops, to say, this is the good news of great joy that can be found through Christ and made possible because his life, his death, and his resurrection, that you and I can experience life that is full and abundant, the life that we've been created for because we engage in a relationship with the Father in heaven who loves us, that we have been created for since the beginning of time. And Paul encourages us again in the book of Ephesians. He writes this, he says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and because of your many sins, but God, those are always good statements, but God showed up. But God came, but God gave his life, but God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we are dead because of our sins, that even though the cost to us, the impact on our lives is that we would experience death, he gave us life when he was raised from Christ, when he raised Christ from the dead. See, today, the good news for us as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ is there's good news for us that he gives us life, makes life possible for us, life that is abundant and full and not consumed by the worries and concerns in the things of this world, but that we have a hope in the one who is unshakable and unchangeable. That we have hope in a life that is full and everlasting. See, the reality for each and every one of us is that we face a life and a world where our bodies are diminishing, where our time in this world is limited and short in light of eternity. And yet in that, we hold on to a hope because of the one who overcame death to make a way for us. This past week, I had the chance to sit with a dear Crosspointer who had received a fairly significant medical diagnosis that didn't have positive outcome at the end. And in the space of difficulty and in the space of realizing that the end is soon to come, she was telling a story as she sat in the hospital room and celebrating the fact that she had moved from what felt like a linen closet to a room with multiple beds in it and a couple other people around. And she said, I had this chair sitting beside me, and the people next to me had people visiting. The patient next to me had people visiting. And one of the people visiting was this young guy, and he asked if it was all right if he sat in the chair beside my bed and if he could use that chair. And she's like, well, sure, absolutely. And in this moment where she had just received the previous day this difficult medical diagnosis, she sat there rejoicing in the fact that she could speak hope and life to this young man. That she could invite him into a life that is full and abundant, that isn't built on the circumstances of this world. And I sat there as I listened to her share this story, and I thought, man, it would be so easy to be consumed by the trials and challenges, by the waves and the storms that would blow in life. And we can be overwhelmed because of the situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in. And yet we hold on to a hope that is everlasting. That while we might diminish in this world and our physical bodies might waste away, we have a hope that is everlasting and unchanging. But it isn't just that we hold on till we get through to the end, that we can make it to that place and eternity and heaven is going to be awesome and amazing, and it is going to be all of those things because it is a return to Eden. But it's also a promise for here and now. That as we face storms and trials and challenges, we don't walk through this life alone because we have the opportunity to experience a relationship restored with the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in it. We have an opportunity to see a relationship restored with a Father in heaven who loved us so much that he was willing to send his son that we would know and experience life that is full and abundant. It's because of this. It's because of this good news of Jesus' life, his death, and his ultimate resurrection that we can capture the words spoken by the prophet Hosea, recaptured by Paul as he wrote in 1 Corinthians for us. It says, O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your sting? That in the light of the things we go through in this world, in light of medical diagnoses, in light of financial upheaval, in light of uncertainty in our world in all sorts of ways and means, we can hold on to hope because one who overcame death has made a way for us to know life that is full, life that is complete, life that is renewed and restored because we walk in relationship with a Father who loves us and longs for us. And he longs for us because he made the way for us, willing to send his son to pay the ultimate full, complete price of death on the cross to pay for our sins so that we would know and experience life. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you got invited by a friend or family member. Maybe you got invited to say, hey, let's go for lunch afterwards. And maybe there's this longing in your heart. And there's Eden in your bones. It's given you a sense of angst and uncertainty, being like, there's got to be more than this. The things of this world, they seem like they don't quite answer, they don't quite quench, they don't quite solve that longing that's in your heart. This morning, could I offer for you the message that Jesus resurrected from the dead to make a way for you to be restored for a relationship you were created for? The one who longs for you, desires you, the one who sent his son on your behalf that you could know life. And he invites you to experience that this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and life feels like it's been turned upside down. Maybe you're in the middle of a life storm. It feels like the waves are crashing over the edge of the boat and you're not quite sure how you're going to get through or how you're going to make a way. Could I offer to you the good news of the resurrection of Christ, that he overcame death so that we could know life? And his promise for us, for you and for me, is that he will not leave us or forsake us, that he hasn't said, well, figure it out, we'll do more, we'll accomplish more, we'll be more, we'll have more. But he is making a way for us to know and experience life that's full and abundant. That his promise to you is that he will not leave you or forsake you to do it yourself, but that he walks with you. That no matter what you go through, the depths of sorrow, the depths of loss, the depths of grief, the depths of pain, that he walks with you through those very things. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need to be reminded of the good news of great joy that is the resurrection of the Christ. The one who offers us life in communion with the Father. Because you've got the longing of Eden in your heart. And the only way that that is satisfied is by walking in relationship with him. That Jesus invites you to that place to be renewed and refreshed. To be restored and experience life that is full and abundant. That is walking in relationship with a Father who loves you. Who created you in his image for relationship with him. Because you and I, we have Eden in our hearts. And the only way to see that restored, the only way to see that fulfilled, is to respond to the invitation of grace and mercy. To respond to the good news of great joy of Christ's life given for us and then his resurrection from the dead. That this world cannot hold us. That there's a hope for us, not just for eternity and far off places, but here and now. And this morning, my prayer for us, my prayer for you, is that you would experience the good news of the resurrected Christ, that he is risen indeed. And we can say, oh, death, where is your sting? Because we have a hope that's found in him. I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and I'm going to pray for us and as we wrap up our time together. And an opportunity to respond to God's word for us, an invitation to life that's found in him. So Jesus, this morning we come gathered together with an opportunity to remind one another of the good news of great joy that is the life of Christ. Given for us as a lavish display of God's love for us, each one of us here, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter what we're going through, the message of Jesus is a picture of your lavish love for us, an invitation to a relationship restored and reconciled, a relationship that we were created for since the beginning of time, an invitation that you invite us to and make possible. Jesus, this morning, we gather to celebrate your victory over death, you making a way for us to experience life. So Jesus, we desire to walk in that, to respond to that, to receive that. This morning I pray for each one here that no matter where they are, no matter where they come from in that experience, whether they've chosen to walk with you, surrendering their lives to you, or whether they've just got a sense of there's this angst in my heart and my life, Jesus, I pray that we would meet with you this morning in a real significant way. Grateful for your life and your death and then the resurrection that invites us to life full and everlasting that's found in you alone. Grateful for this morning, we celebrate it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Why don't you stand as we close our service by declaring once again, Christ is risen from the dead. Let no one caught in sin.
Freely you bled.
death, Jesus, this morning, we celebrate that fact. We say, oh, death, where is your sting? We are grateful for the life of Christ given for us, your victory over death that invites us to life. May we know and experience that in a real, significant, tangible way as we go from here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A couple things as we wrap up our time together. It's been so good to be with you this morning. If you would like prayer, we would love to be able to stand with you in prayer. Maybe God's been stirring your heart, or maybe there's something you've been carrying through this week. We would love the opportunity to pray with you this morning. We got a team that'll be over here on the side that will pray with you. If you're new and would love to connect with us, Mike will be back at the Connection Center, and he'd love to connect with you there. But we don't want anybody to leave here feeling like a stranger. So I encourage you to look around you. Maybe there's somebody you don't know. Introduce yourself. Ask them, are you having like a great Easter dinner, turkey, ham? What are you doing? And you might even get an invite. Try it out. It might be a good thing. You know, there's always a possibility. And as we go, we want to remind you, as we do on a weekly basis, remind you who you are and who God has called you to be. So you are the people of God, called by God into his redemptive mission in the world. So go and be who you are. Have a great week. Thanks for being with us. Happy Easter. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Hey, and welcome back. Thanks for listening to this Sunday's message. We hope that we've helped you in your spiritual journey and that you are drawing closer to God at Crosspoint. We gather on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. in Northeast Edmonton and throughout the week in something we love to call home groups. Home groups are encouraging and transformational communities for people just like you. We believe that the journey of faith is done together, so we hope that you'll connect with us at thecrosspointchurch.ca. Now, let me remind you of who you are. You are the people of God, called by God into his redemptive mission in the world. So be who you are.